Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Chevalier Mortgage. You can call Virginia directly at 303-257-6578 or visit dnvrmortgage.com, where you can get signed up for a free consultation and to discuss all of your options, as well as get free DNVR merch. Check it out today. I'm sure you've heard about the great mortgage rates out there right now, but Mike and Virginia are not your typical mortgage company. Yes, they do have the phenomenal rates, but what makes them different is that Mike is a certified financial planner and looks at so much more than just rate when designing your home loan. Plus, they're a small family-owned company, just like us here at DNVR, so you'll always feel like a person and not a number. Again, head on over to dnvrmortgage.com and check them out today. Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Use code DNVR when you sign up for a new account. I'm your host, Rudo, joined by AJ Haefeli. Some Avalanche news today. Probably not the free agent news that everyone was hoping to hear, but there's still time in the day for that to happen. We'll see how tonight plays out. For this show, though, the Avs traded for Curtis McDermott. There were also a few other trades around the NHL we can talk about, but we'll get to those in a second. This trade didn't make a whole lot of sense to me, AJ. Are you gonna explain it to me, or are you gonna be confused and sad about it?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a pretty obvious. I think it's a pretty obvious deal here. The analytics department clearly went to lunch, and Sakic got on the phone and hurried up and called Ron Francis and said, "I need that guy who led the Kings in hits per 60 last year that you guys took in the expansion draft. Gimme, gimme, gimme." And he gave up his favorite asset to give up, which is a fourth round pick, because he gives those up all the time.
He does. It's been 3 years in a row now he's traded the fourth, I think.
I mean, going back to like Colin Wilson, like
that's true. Even like, longer than that, yeah.
It's the guy gets he's like, nope. If you have a depth guy that we want, our fourth is something we are very comfortable giving up.
All right. Let me preface everything I'm going to say on the show with the fact that I'm sure Curtis McDermott is a great human being. I'm sure he could.
So word on the street is that he is a great like
dude,
like yeah. like character wise, like he's great in the room, which
neat. I'm sure he could beat the pants off of me both in the game of hockey and literally.
Well, he is like 6'5 and jacked.
Yeah. So we've set some ground rules that it's nothing against him as a person. I mean, he's an unbelievably good hockey player for having made it to the NHL at all. But I don't understand.
It's weird that, like, we have to, like, qualify that because we're about to, like, turbo dunk on what he's done in the NHL. Yeah.
Looking at his statistics, it's not good.
So, basically, take what Patrick Nemeth did in the playoff series against Vegas.
Yep.
And that's Curtis McDermott defensively all the time.
Just always. It's his defensive metrics are unbelievably bad. Like, there is a legitimate case that he may be the worst defenseman in the NHL that played over 10 games. It's bad. I don't know what to tell you. Like, the actual numbers of his hockey play are, as you can see, atrociously bad.
Atrociously atrocious.
Like, I don't know how you can put this guy on your NHL roster, in your NHL lineup, and say you've made your team better. I even struggle to understand, like, the point everyone has made.
Look how deep red that bar is.
Yeah, that expected goals against is, it's all the way at the bottom. It's breaking the graph at this point. And where I struggle with this is the conversation around him is like, well, he'll add grit. He'll add some physicality. The Avs needed some of that. In a certain sense, I don't necessarily disagree with that, but also when you look at his numbers, and I understand that hits is not a particularly well-tracked stat.
It's inconsistent as hell, arena to arena.
But he's not even in the top 100 NHLers in hits per game or per 60 last year. It's not like this dude is running out there and hitting everything that moves. He's averaging 2 hits a game. I think it was about 7.5 hits per 60, which it's the top 100 all average well over 10 hits per 60. Yep. The thing that he does is punch people in the face, which if you want that, cool, great, I get it. I don't understand how that's a reaction to the Vegas series in which fighting wasn't particularly relevant to the outcome of the series.
Yo, finishing though. He's got a great shot, right?
Yeah, his 2 goals that he finished on 16 shots this year really helped him finish, I guess. He led the Kings in shooting percentage at 12.5%.
I loved that made the press release.
Yeah, that was like the first line, and I was like, really? Really?
I loved that. Tied for 3rd in goals amongst Kings defensemen.
He also
led Los Angeles Blue Liners.
Defense at scoring was what this presser is about.
7.38 hits per 60 minutes. So
I just don't. Do we have his? Do we have his isolateds? Because I really want to show the defense.
The deep red.
Go. This artboard, is this him? It is him. Yeah. It's bad. It's really, really bad.
So, for the listeners who aren't watching this live, this is, so offensively, you want that to be red. And defensively, you want that to be blue.
He got it back. He's got a little backwards.
And these are huge numbers, but in the reverse direction of what you want. Okay. The fact that he's negative offensively, I can live with. There's a lot of decent NHL players who are like that. He's not a play driver. Fine. But if you're going to be a defensive defenseman that punches people and hits people and brings grit and physicality, maybe you don't want to go out and get a guy who's been so horrific defensively that the heat map with him in his own zone looks like a skinned knee right in front of your own goal.
That is not a skinned knee. That is the blood of the goaltender who is bled out in the crease from all the shots this dude is giving up. Like
a gunshot wound. Where the blood is just squirting out all over the rest of the zone. There's nothing positive about this. There's nothing. There's like no dressing this up. The only way you could dress it up is, hey, well, 2018-19 wasn't so bad, where he also had his least number of games played.
And this is a further concern, is I think his biggest season he played, what, 44 games?
45.
Okay, so either way, has not come anywhere close to playing a full season in his career. He played 22 last year.
28 last year.
It was 28, all right. I got to pull up his stats, I guess. Either way, he played about half the season, and you can see why he only played half the season. I don't know. I'm really struggling with this one from...
I'm not struggling with it at all. They wanted a thumper. They wanted a big in. They wanted a face puncher. They wanted physicality. They wanted that old school mentality where they wanted a dude to go out there and run around and smash into stuff.
They got a big face puncher. I'm with you on that. I understand that part of it. I just there had to be better options if they wanted someone who wanted to be physical during play. Because I just don't think he's that physical beyond starting fights.
Yeah.
Not that he's not physical, but
this is the thing that
this is the thing that
I just don't get.
Right.
You do this the day before the free agency market opens up, where, I mean, like, in my thing yesterday, I signed Yanni Hakanpaa. Like,
you could go get any dude that's willing to punch some faces for not a fourth round pick.
Right. And like, and I get that Curtis McDermott costs $875,000.
Sure. Quite
I get that that is very cheap. I understand. But for an extra $400,000, maybe, they could have gotten just about anybody on the free agent market that don't have on-ice results this awful.
To be clear, he got $875,000 last year, roughly. I suppose he was probably on the taxi squad, so he probably got about $875,000 last year for 4 points. That's over $200,000 a point. And I understand, like, points aren't everything, but
especially with defensive defensemen, got it. Like, this is the Avs haven't made very many moves in the last few years where you're just like,
this dude is just not very good.
You know, like even like the deadline made sense. It didn't go well. Like, it didn't turn out very well, but it made sense.
There was, you could understand the plan behind it.
Yeah, like there was logic to it. And the logic to this is we wanted a big, we wanted a mean, we wanted physical. We wanted, okay, is this guy even in your lineup?
I want to get to that. We do need to take our break first because this trade really does make me want to drink. So go get yourself some Breck Brew. I got myself an Avalanche right here. You can get it down at the DNVR bar. You can also get it at your local liquor store. Grab their Good Company hard seltzers if you see them, as we've been saying. They fly off the shelves. Avs fans might be looking to Breck Brew for a handful of reasons in the coming days, whether it be this trade, possibly Landy, possibly Grubauer. Could be drinking in celebration or sadness. I don't know. Either way, Breck Brew has you covered. Then you can head on over to Solace Meds. They are just a couple blocks down from the DNVR bar in Denver, but they have four locations in Colorado, including one in Fort Collins. You can get in there and get whatever you might need. They have a bunch of in-store deals, but you can order online as well and get 20% off when you use code DNVR20 and get your pickup all set up. You can get in there, get whatever you need, get out quickly, super fast and easy. my favorite way to do it, to be honest. I live in a world where, like, if I actually have to go somewhere and order things, I just won't go there anymore. Like, if I'm picking something up, I have to be able to order it from the app or online beforehand. That's just my entire life now. So I'm glad to see more and more companies switching over to that style. Solace Meds is one of them. Be sure to check them out. And then when you save yourself some money using all of our DNVR codes, you can sign up for a DNVR annual membership as well. To help support us, you can get all of our awesome content. I'm sure AJ has plenty of written pieces, maybe not loaded up yet, but as soon as the Avs start doing stuff in free agency, he'll have stuff to post. He'll have thoughts, which you can basically only get through DNVR now, since he's still not a free AJ in the Twitter world. So
jailed AJ.
Jailhouse AJ. Is that you, prison AJ? How are the Dementors?
They just suck out my soul.
All right. Well,
they reduce all happiness.
Fair enough.
they basically put me in a world where the only conversations I'm allowed to have are with people who think Sam Girard should be traded.
That is pretty soul sucking. I'm not going to lie. In any case, use the NVR, get our cool stuff. You get a free shirt with an annual membership, big beers at the bar, access to the lounge, all sorts of awesome stuff. So highly recommend it. If you want to try it, I think the like 1 month trial is like 99 cents or something. So at very least give that a shot, if nothing else. Anyway, second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. You've explained the logic behind it already. I'm with you on that. Now we have to talk about the fact that the Avs are willing to give up a fourth round pick for this guy. It's an overvalue. I think we would all agree on that. But the implication is you trade a fourth round pick for a guy you're going to put on your NHL roster, right? Did the Avs just trade a fourth round pick for a guy they're just going to send to the
AHL? No, it doesn't make any sense for the plan to be to send him to the AHL. Why would you give up a pick for that?
Right.
I mean, why would you give up a pick for this guy at all? But
also true.
Whatever. That's clearly done already.
There's no going back now.
Also, I just love that Seattle went through the entire expansion draft now, and all they've gotten is 2 fourth round picks.
Yeah,
it's so weird, man.
That team's gonna be bad too.
I don't know. It's so strange.
But hey, they still have a Carson Twarinski, so it's fine.
Yeah.
In any case,
I saw the Larry Brooks thing saying that the Avs are offering Landy a 3-year deal in the range of McKinnon's salary at 6.3.
Neat.
Yeah.
So let's assume he's on the Avs NHL roster somewhere. Is he your 8th D? Is he leapfrogging Timmins as your 7th D? Is he your, oh no, EJ's not going to be healthy, 6th D? I'm struggling to see how you drop him into your lineup again and say that you've made your team better, because the top three are obvious. Makar, Girard, Taves are not going anywhere.
Yeah,
I can't see how you possibly sit Bo and Byram for this guy.
Yeah. Well, and then Connor Timmins earned a job.
Right. Connor Timmins played and quite well for you in the playoffs.
This is your, we really didn't want to play Jacob McDonald.
I guess.
If Eric Johnson is not healthy on opening night, we really don't want to play Jacob McDonald. So, and look, if Evan put out a thing today.
People have about playing him at forward, sure.
Yeah, and if he ends up at forward, it's not any better.
It's now he's just taking a spot from Martin Kaut instead.
Yeah, or any of those guys. Like, or, I would rather see what Mikhail Maltsev has to offer.
Definitely.
I would rather just roll with Kiefer Sherwood.
Again, another guy who Logan O'Connor serviceable at the NHL level, two guys
Logan O'Connor should have a job pretty much just locked down.
Yeah.
Without question here. like this. Okay, so you do put him at forward, then it's like this is stupid. Like this is like what are you doing?
I don't know. I don't know how you fit this guy into the lineup of the Avs. I just don't. I mean, I know how. I know what's gonna happen. I assume that he's the EJ replacement until EJ is healthy. But
I mean, we don't even know that much because free agency opens tomorrow.
Right. What happens if the Avs go sign Jake McCabe or Cody Ceci tomorrow?
Yeah, like, or one of those other guys. Like this really does then turn into your
why did you do this? Yeah.
Now he's taken Jacob McDonald's job as like the flex guy, like that will play forward or defense for you, depending.
It's really weird.
I don't understand.
And
there isn't anybody, okay? Like, because it looks like Sheldon Dries and TJ Tynan and those cats are all moving on.
Yep.
Free agency opens tomorrow, and they haven't brought any of those dudes back.
The dudes they're going to bring back on AHL deals they kind of already have.
But. Right. Like, I wouldn't play this guy at forward over Jason Megna.
Yeah, probably not. But like, so here's the thing, right? It's
Andreas Wingerli. Like you signed that guy.
You want to see what he has, right? Yeah. But
so we're talking about this dude potentially moving up at four, and this doesn't get into Shane Bowers, Martin Kaut. I guess we'll throw Alex Newhook on there for right now. And Newhook,
of those dudes, Newhook's the most likely to have a spot, right?
Right. I'm just saying. Like,
sure.
And then I guess if you wanted to sample Ranta, Jean-Luc Foudy as like maybe
getting way down
maybe,
there, yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
like maybe, but it's like what?
Well,
this doesn't make any sense. Okay, and then defensively, if he ends up as like your eighth or ninth guy, like that's ideal because then you're multiple injuries
away from having to be forced to play him.
Right. But then like Jacob McDonald was just very serviceable.
Right. Well,
just gave Dennis Gilbert to QO. You got decent minutes out of Dan Renouf. You have Justin Barron there. This is basically older Keaton Middleton. So what are you doing?
This is
why did they give up a pick for this? I don't get that.
I wanted to get into Jacob McDonald and Dennis Gilbert because first of all, Jacob McDonald is essentially the polar opposite of a hockey player than what you are going to get out of McDermott. McDonald has fairly good underlying numbers. He's a firecracker of a hockey player that just goes in and plays YOLO all the time, every time. He's fun to watch. And McDermott, his ability to play hockey is probably the least of his skills that he has when you're putting him on the ice. You're basically putting him on the ice to do anything but play hockey. You want him to run people over and punch people, and that's about it. And when you look at Dennis Gilbert as an archetype, is that not what you would be targeting him to be for you?
Yeah. What does this dude do? I mean, this is just, yes, Dennis Gilbert and Keaton Middleton already had this job. They were already here.
And
for this exact like thing, like that's the element that they bring. That's what they do. What is the appeal here?
I don't know why you'd play him over Jared Bednar. Yeah. I don't know why you'd play him over them. And however, I do know, I guarantee you the conversation will come along in the middle of the season where the Avs are going to be playing someone like St. Louis and they're going to say, well, we want more heavy bodies in our lineup. This is the stereotypical thing. And McDermott's going to find his way into some hockey games. But
you say middle of the St. Louis is the second game on the schedule. It's happening right away, yeah, bro.
It might happen right away.
Like, I don't want to make too many like definitive statements and all this because
tomorrow's gonna be a big day.
Yeah. Like free agency opens tomorrow, and as of right now, the Avs still have $19.3 million to spend.
Yeah. work to be done in spades as of
there,
yet.
Yeah, there could be a whole bunch of things that happen. So we don't know. But it's really one, there's no way they gave up an asset for this guy and don't have him in the NHL roster plans. And yep. Two, if he's in the NHL roster plans, who's sitting because they wanted to play this guy? Yep. And it's just
those are the, and like
look, you guys are all about the moving the EJ, and look, if somebody's willing to take EJ off their hands and that money and they move him, and okay, then this move still doesn't make sense.
Yeah, right. Like
they shouldn't be in any way related.
Usually you have a pretty good feel about when a move is a part of something more in the works going on to it. And for me, this trade feels very much as a random one-off that like doesn't add up to anything else. The Avs just paid a fourth round pick for some guy to be their eighth to sixth defenseman somewhere in there. So, yeah, I mean, I'm sure he will punch faces great, and the Avs will get what they want out of him in that regard. But I don't know how you can play him. Certainly can't play him every night as an NHL defenseman.
Even a rebuilding team,
yeah,
didn't want to play him every night on yep. defense. He was that not good. The LA Kings were like, we can't play this guy every night. We're trying to lose games. We're fine losing games, and we don't even want to put this dude in our lineup.
Conspiracy theory. Grubauer was too bored in Colorado and said he needed to face more shots if they wanted him back. So they intentionally got weaker defensively to give Grubauer more workload.
Yeah, he needed to stay in a rhythm easier.
Yeah, exactly.
That way he doesn't fall asleep at the start of game six when a puck comes out of the corner that he just never sees.
There you have it. Easy conspiracy theory confirmed.
It's on Curtis McDermott to prove that this isn't just an incredibly stupid thing.
Nonsensical. Yeah.
Yeah. But a huge waste of everyone's time.
Yep. For sure. All right.
Like, it's on him now.
That's so far today for Avs news. Obviously, Landy rumors have been swirling. Grubauer still unsigned as well, with free agency starting tomorrow. Those.
Oh, no. Yaro Halak went to Vancouver. The market's empty.
Yeah, those are where they are for the Avs right now. It's crunch time, I guess. AJ, you expect both of them to get to market?
I don't know.
He doesn't know. All right. Can live with that answer.
At this point, who knows? I mean, we're so close that we'll see.
But the
great fear is that Vegas just moved out $7 million and then turns around and gives it to Gabe Landeskog.
Yeah, anything's possible, right? Which I do want to talk about that in Vegas in just a second here. But we are brought to you by the Ball Corporation. Head on down to Ball Arena to catch a game. But they're also hiring here in Golden. You can text Golden to, is it 77222 or is it 22777? No, it's 77222 for sure. Text Golden to 77222 or go to ball.jobs.com, jobs.ball.com. I don't know. Allie, you have the thing, right, that tells them where to go? Maybe. Either way, Ball Arena is great.
I'll get it to you.
Either way, Ball is a great company. Like, legitimately, they are fun to work for, whether it's working in their plant. There you go. It's 77222 and jobs.ball.com. I knew I was right. Should have trusted my gut. Should have trusted my gut on both of them. They work not only with aluminum cans and things like that, but also in the aerospace industry as well, sending satellites up and monitoring resources here on Earth. So pretty cool stuff. They're hiring. I'm not sure how many spots they still have available. At one point, I think they were hiring like 400 people for their golden plant. So lots of opportunities. They pay a living wage, have actual, you know, like employee benefits and things like that going on. So be sure to check them out. They're great. Can't recommend them enough. Get yourself a job, earn some money. Then you can go to Ball Arena and watch Avs games. Also brought to you all by Hassel Cattle Company. You can always get damn good meat from Hassel, but right now you have a chance to win some damn good meat for free. They're giving away a $200 gift card and a sweet little cooler. All you have to do is go to their website and ship them your email address, and you are entered to win the $200 gift card and cooler. It's a great opportunity. Of course, you can always get 10% off when you use code DNVR10 on their site if you just want to get your meat right now and not wait for the giveaway. But, you know, why not use both? Give yourself an opportunity to go full Drew and pack your entire freezer full of meat, which I guess Drew has, like, a meat freezer specifically, which is that's like a thing that hunters do, right? I've never really been a hunter in my life, so I don't know.
Okay.
Is that not a thing that hunters do? Like,
what the fuck are you asking me? Do I look like a hunter?
I don't look, all right? People surprise you sometimes. You never know.
Do I look like I've ever killed anything in my life?
Just my hopes and dreams.
Other than that Dr. Pepper that I was just killing, I smashed that thing.
And
I mean, I guess I did get kicked off of social media for violence. So
true, you're basically a murderer. Of course, also brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. Obviously, Olympics going on strong right now. I know I've been consuming an insane amount of Olympic coverage in my war room here, all four monitors.
Bro, I was up till like 3 a.m. I was like in and out of sleep trying to watch USA versus China in women's volleyball.
Oh, see, I was watching USA versus Great Britain in rugby sevens.
Oh, how'd that go?
USA was up 21-7 at the half and blew it. it was painful in the second half, man.
Yeah, dude.
It was rough.
The U.S. swept China in women's volleyball. So,
all right. Well, there you go. A little pick-me-up right there.
Dude, it's crazy. They were talking about China. Like, China's like, oh, this is a huge deal. And they haven't won a set in the Olympics yet. They're 0-2, and they got swept in both of them.
All right. So, if you missed out on the pre-Olympic offer, which was literally free money, they're extending it, but they did have to change it a little bit. Now you have to place any pre-event wager of $1 to win $100. So pick an event that you're confident the Americans will win any medal in. Doesn't even have to be a gold, just a bronze or better, and you will get that $100 for $1. So not quite as a surefire lock as literally any medal at the Olympics, but still a great bet.
That was a pretty good bet. I think they're 20 medals deep already.
Yeah, they've already knocked that one well out of the park. But, you know, if you have a good feeling, if you know your sports at the Olympics pretty well, you know what America's good at, I think it would be pretty easy for you to pick up $100 pretty easily here when you use code DNVR to sign up for a new account. DraftKings, super easy to use. Just jump in there, especially when you sign up. They'll just take you right to your quick odds boost to make that bet easy for you. Thank you, Sasha, who says 25 medals for the U.S. already. Yeah, their app is super awesome as well on your phone. They're just awesome when they give away deals like this because it's pretty darn close to free money that you can make more bets with. So download that top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code DNVR when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free site credits. All America has to do is win a medal in the event that you pick. Again, DNVR code. Let them know we sent you. It must be 21 or older. Colorado only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. All right. I wanted to get to this topic as thank you for the super chat. Pin King. AJ touched on it for a second as well, but the Vegas Golden Knights trading out Marc-Andre Fleury, finally getting out from under that cap hit a little bit.
a weird way to put it after the guy wins a Vezina trophy.
He's the best goalie in the league, but they also don't have to pay him. And it was no salary retained, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So they do completely get out from under that one.
They should have totally traded for a guy that's going to turn around and retire on them.
Yeah, I don't. Again, especially if there's no salary retained, why would you do that when you could just sign Grubb?
Yeah.
However, Fleury does end up in the Central Division now.
Sure.
Do you care about that?
I don't think he's going to play for them. Going into the offseason, the conversation was that the conversation was that he wanted to play for Vegas, he wanted to play for Pittsburgh, or he didn't want to play.
Yeah.
Chicago rolled that dice and said, sure, we'll give you a nothing player who, by the way, will continue to play in Chicago's organization despite Vegas now holding his rights. Cool. Why bother? Why not just why pretend at that point? Why act like this is a deal? Just do like what Philly did and just be like, we don't need anything in return.
Just give us the player. It's fine.
Yeah. Like you can't even make a PR argument because they failed to tell the player before he found out on social media, which a player that, like, I can understand Curtis McDermott finding out that he got traded on Twitter, but Marc-Andre Fleury, a guy that has been the face of your franchise since your inception.
Yeah.
Like a guy that has been your heart and your soul and your everything. What are you doing? Not just giving him a simple heads up, giving him the courtesy of the phone call. How do you not tell him that this is on the horizon? What is this? Like, what are you doing? Like, players notice this stuff, you know?
Yep.
They're going to know, like, oh, if they'll do that to Fleury, they sure as hell aren't going to care about me. The second that my value versus cost gets skewed in the wrong direction, because remember, this is the guy that just won a Vezina.
Yep.
He was the best goaltender in the league. And then not only that, but they pull him at the end of their playoff series and roll with Leonard. I don't know what to say about it.
I think it about summed it up. Yeah.
What are you doing? Like, I get, we all knew that they were going to do something to clear out the money. Okay. Get it. But I don't know.
Here's the thing that confuses me.
This is just...
Why does Chicago think that Fleury is the answer to their woes? And I know they needed a goaltender.
This is a goaltender.
I know they needed a goaltender. I understand that. But do they really think that Fleury makes them a contender? 1 year of Marc-Andre Fleury, if he even plays?
Well, and it's like, was that the...
Did
Lankinen not do a decent job for them last
year? He was like, solid, maybe not spectacular, but
I'm with you in that. I don't understand
why Chicago would do it. Yeah, especially Chicago freeing up, maybe not in the Central, but still a direct opponent in the Western Conference, for Vegas can now go do something else and get better. Theoretically, at least. But Carrie, thank you for the super chat. Do they have signed Grubauer? If not, who replace him? Ask again tomorrow, bud.
Yeah, we'll see. We've been talking about this every day.
Yep.
We'll tomorrow see.
It'll finally happen one way or another.
Yeah. So you're replacing Grubauer with a cost efficient option would be a lot more doable in theory anyway than replacing Landeskog, of course.
Yeah. That's how goalies work. So, in any case, though, Fleury's situation, as you mentioned, Vegas now has money to go out and do something. What does that end up being? We'll see. But not no longer stuck in cap hell, I guess.
Yeah, well, and they still, so Fleury, the $7 million is gone. Great. They still need a backup goaltender.
Like, no.
Not super.
They can, you can do that on the cheap. Yeah.
Yeah. Not super hard to do that. Right now they've got $12 million in cap space. The Martinez deal is not on there. The new Martinez deal is not on there. So Nolan Patrick doesn't have a deal. And they only have five defensemen. With Martinez, it would be six.
So,
yeah.
They have to take care 12... of some internal stuff as well, sure.
Yeah, so, like, they've got them, and, like, we've seen, like, if you want to dump it, if you want to dump a contract, it's just not that hard.
Just call Arizona. Congratulations, you've dumped a contract.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Well, yeah, Nichushkin syndrome, so the one time that we were wrong about a guy. And hilariously, the one that, if you go back and listen to those shows, it was in the middle of August, and we were like, we are overblowing this because it's the middle of August and nothing is happening, so this is the focus of our day. Yeah, there were actual reasons for optimism with Val Nichushkin, though. Like, you could talk yourself into certain things, and those things happened.
Yeah, that, for the record,
Curtis McDermott doesn't have an optimistic thing to talk yourself into. Yeah,
there was no Curtis McDermott doesn't have a solid NHL season
in his history. He has not been a good NHL player ever. It just hasn't happened. There isn't anything to talk yourself into or lie to yourself about. The only thing it is he's big and strong and mean and tough.
He's also,
and like, look, do the Avs need that element? Yes. Absolutely. We would all agree that they could definitely use more sandpaper, but you can't do it at the expense of all other skills.
And the thing is, he's also 27 today. So with Val, he was 24 when the Avs went and got him. So maybe you can talk yourself into seeing there's some upside there. He can still hit another gear. This is it. This is who Curtis McDermott is at age 27. There's no significant leap in his game, barring, you know, something exceptional happening.
Yeah.
So
if you want to think that we're being hysterical or over, you know, overblowing it or whatever, like, that's fine. It ignores all context, and acting like they're the same thing is comically disingenuous.
Well, I mean, Even our dislike of the Val Nichushkin deal, conceptually, there was a spot for him on the roster.
Well, and with Nichushkin, there was a it wasn't even about him. All of it wasn't even about him. It was what we had talked about with McDermott. Okay, if that guy's playing, who?
Someone has to sit. Yeah.
Who's not?
Yeah.
You know? So that's, yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. It's they're just two different situations.
Yeah. They're not really comparable.
All right.
There's like reclamation projects, and then there's like, are you hoping for a miracle? Or like, it's one thing to be like, hey, maybe this guy can get, like, somebody earlier asked about James Neal.
Yep.
Like, James Neal had an entire decade where he was
a very, very good NHL player.
He had 10 years in a row of scoring 20 goals or more.
Yep.
And so, like, there's a track record where, like, if you're like, oh, hey, the Avs don't sign Landeskog and they want to give him a 1-year deal for $2 million, and they're going to put him next to McKinnon and Rantanen, and he's going to rebuild his value, and he's going to whatever. Like, there's a world where you could totally talk yourself into, like, maybe miracles happen. Like, maybe this guy gets back to a level he hasn't been in 5 years or whatever, right? But with a guy who has never been a good NHL player, it's like, What's the upside here? Like, where's the hope here?
Right. Where does this player go?
And yeah, like, what is the best case scenario you can envision? Because what the Avs got with Val Nichushkin was it.
Yep.
That was the best case scenario, the best realistic case scenario that they were going to talk themselves into when they signed him that day. And it happened. And that's awesome. That's been great for Val. It's been great for the Avs. But in this one, what's the best case? What's the upside? The best case is he becomes Ryan Graves. And like, if he does that, that is a huge win for the Avs. But yeah, it also comes completely out of nowhere because there's nothing in over 100 NHL games played to suggest that's even remotely on the horizon.
That's my problem with this trade is personally, for me, the best this goes is that he never plays a game in an Avs jersey and he just sits there in the press box.
And you give a fourth round pick for
to not play a dude. Yeah. Like I legitimately think the Avs will be worse for having put him in the starting lineup. So
Elliot Friedman. Okay, working on some stuff. Biggest one is probably Landeskog. Hearing 7x7 is on the table, and there are discussions about the possibility of 8 years. We will see where this goes. There are others who want him.
AJ about to dunk.
Yeah, I don't have to say a fucking word.
Thank you for the super chat, James. With Connor Garland getting 4.9, do you think the Canucks are capable of getting Elias and Hughes at less than 15 together?
I don't have to say a fucking word. He signs a 7x7.
Just post that face you made after the Av signed Taves.
That, and I'm not going to, we're moving on.
Yeah. That Vancouver, Elias and Hughes. 15.
Is that what it's going to take? You know what? Actually, just let me look real quick. Let me look at their cap situation really, really quickly, because I do want to dig into this. I think it's really interesting.
The Hughes market is relatively set, right? Heiskanen got 8.4, Makar got 9.
I don't think it is. I don't think the Hughes thing is set.
You think they're going to get him cheaper?
I think the Hughes thing is a bridge deal, and I've said this all along.
Okay.
I think the Hughes thing is a bridge deal because he's gone. He went the other way. Where you look at Heiskanen, and it's very, like, he's been very, very, very good. This most recent year was kind of a down year in comparison, but he's very good. Dallas got screwed in their schedule where they basically played every other day for the entire freaking season. It was a total disaster of a year for Dallas, is what I'm saying. Heiskanen absolutely deserved every cent that he got. He kicks ass.
No doubt.
Cale Makar, same thing. With Quinn Hughes, he had an exceptional rookie season. One of the great rookie seasons by a defenseman that we have seen in the last 30 years. But like, I want to absolutely give him full credit here. I don't want people to think that I have it, like, have it out for Quinn Hughes or whatever.
He saw a slump, though. He did.
Quinn Hughes was awesome. And then his second season, he was still productive, but the even strength production started to dry up a little bit. And analytically, he cratered.
Defensively, I mean, especially, yeah.
Cratered. He was Mount St. Helens. Like, you woke up one morning there, and Quinn Hughes was on the top of the mountain. And
and then that
by the end of the day,
yeah,
it was all gone. And, like, the points will still get him paid, but I think if Vancouver is going to be smart about this, that's a bridge deal. That's three by six. That's where I would go with Quinn Hughes.
Just saying. Just putting it out there, just for YouTube, just to confirm. In any case, so do you think they can get Pettersson for relatively decent deal as well? Where are you at with that?
So Patterson, I think there has to be a minor concern here. 2 point per game seasons, really three. I mean, he was basically point per game. Okay. Excuse me. I worry that last year was the concern when he got drafted, is that he's very, very slight of build. And that, one, he's more susceptible to injuries, and two, when he comes back from injuries, he can just keep racking them up.
Yeah. I mean, that's that's a concern with just about anyone who's had an injury. But
for the record, Caleb, Quinn Hughes is not eligible to be offer sheeted.
Yep. He has one more year, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Because he, his first year, he played like five games or whatever.
Didn't qualify. Yeah.
Yeah. For Patterson, I would try and get him long term, but I would go into the I would try and stay in the 7 to 8 range. Because if you look at comps, maybe, you know, this is where I think Mikko Rantanen would be an interesting comp at 9 million. But the thing is at that was when the cap was still going up. So you'll have to take some sort of like a flat cap hit.
Sure.
Maybe that's like 500K, seven. So maybe like eight and a half.
Yeah.
You know, maybe that's where.
Yeah. Eight and a quarter, 8.5. Somewhere
as a center and not where he, because Rantanen was also way more than a point per game. Like,
it squarely at the wing as well, though. Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe Sebastian Aho's the better comp.
I mean, I'm sure Vancouver would like that.
Let me see. I'm not sure Aho was quite as productive. He was. They were, basically
almost identical. Yeah.
Yeah. They were right on that. So I think maybe Sebastian Aho is a better comp, or right about 8.5 million. But it can't be no for 5 years, though. Personally.
All right. I mean, at the end of the day, we're not a Vancouver podcast, so. Anyway, let's move into final thoughts. Look, the trades are what they will be. If some wild contract nonsense happens later today, we may turn this stream off and just go live immediately after. Again, in a panic if the Avs do sign Landy or Grubauer. But either way, we will be live all day tomorrow.
Evan Rao will be joining us. Yep. I talked to Big E last night, and he says that he wants to come on and he wants to hang out and see if hopefully
good things
stuff happens.
Yeah, not like 5 hours of us doing nothing like last year.
Last year was the roughest free agency day we've ever lived through. It was like 4.5 hours of us being live and nothing happened.
I think like three major deals got signed and that was it. Like, we'll see how it goes. Be sure to like and subscribe here on YouTube. You can hit the bell if you want to hear us every single time we go live. Like I said, all day tomorrow we'll just be chilling, hanging out, shooting it with the chat as we wait for the deals to come on in. We'll have our usual show as well, but it's been fun. Last few days of interesting stuff happening, most likely, until we head into the deep dark of August for the NHL. So we'll be here 5 days a week no matter what. But on this one, thank you for watching, listening, however you consume the podcast. We appreciate it. We are out of here.
Did you see this Patrick Nemeth deal?
No, but I'll look at it in a second. We'll talk to you all.
See you tomorrow.
Later.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Lena Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.